Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the show. Tomorrow we'll have Mark Chemel on, the assistant coach for the Lady Lion basketball team. They're getting ready for the Sweet 16 matchup with UConn. Penn State baseball first baseman Jordan Steranko. Next week, Dick Girardi and Malcolm Moran from New Orleans on the Final Four, along with Ron Musselman on the opening week of Penn State football spring practice.
One of the most exciting spring practice opening days, I think, in, what did you say, 50 years? You said something the other day about it. Probably the most anticipated.
I think it's in 7 years. I'd say since 2005. When Derek Williams and Justin King came on board. I think there was so much intrigue about what they could do. It was a highly anticipated blue-white game. I think this is the single most highly anticipated blue-white game since then. So,
David Taylor on our Twitter feed getting information that David Taylor wins the Hodge Award for the National Wrestler of the Year.
We're working on getting him on the show, as a matter of fact, here from the Chateau. You'd like that.
Oh, yeah. And the question you have to ask him is he looking at the Olympics?
He is looking at the Olympics. We already had Jeff Byers on the show last week talking about that.
That was official then. Okay. I thought it was just speculation. I didn't realize it was official.
No. He wants to give it a shot. He's a competitor.
Give it a shot. I think he could give it a shot.
Well, you have to remember, Olympic wrestling, Kevin, is different than what we're watching on the collegiate level. And you'll notice that many of the Olympians are older. These are usually not college-age athletes in Olympic wrestling. It is a rarity to have what would be a redshirt sophomore represent the United States at that weight class. Did I hurt your pride? What did I do?
No, not at all. I can't disagree with you.
That's the difference. The difference is usually A little older, a little more savvy, a little more everything. Training year-round like that.
Well, I mean, that's where you go.
It's a different style of wrestling.
I mean, that's where you go after college. That's all that's left. I mean, it's not like there's an NFL for wrestling that you could go to.
No, there isn't. They talked about doing something like that years ago, and it just never took off. Our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. The NCAA basketball tournament resumes tonight. Games taking place in Boston tonight. And as Kevin would say, Pahonix.
In Pahonix, that's right. I had to think a little bit what you were talking about, but then I got it.
It's where Mark Reynolds used to play.
That's right, in Pahonix.
Yeah, in Pahonix. So that is tonight. The 1-4 matchups, and let's face it, I think we thoroughly dissected four of the matchups involving Big Ten teams yesterday. Thoroughly dissected the last 2 days because we had the four announcers on from the respective programs. So no need to replay their interviews and thoroughly dissect again. By the way, it turns out that Collins has an interest in the Illinois job, by the way. The Duke assistant coach, Chris Collins.
Okay.
What's interesting is that the lineage from Duke to head coaching jobs has not been a strong one. Doesn't mean Chris Collins can't get it done, but it hasn't been a strong one. Tommy Amaker. Seton Hall didn't go too well. Michigan didn't go too well. But now he's in the Ivy with Harvard. Yeah. Quinn Snyder. think Johnny Dawkins may end up being pretty good. But it's actually taken, it's not an automatic to go from that program like, hey, we got a Duke assistant, we're in great shape. No, it's a little different when you're selecting as opposed to actually competing and recruiting.
Well, this might not be the best year to switch from Duke to somewhere else and be have the team you go to be excited. Right. It was a rougher year for Duke this year than in previous years.
Sure, but I mean, he's been there a long time. Right. He's established. But Chris Collins says he openly wants to be considered a candidate for the Illinois job. As we told you earlier, Shaka Smart had already said no, and I never thought Shaka Smart was going to go.
I was going to ask you, what's the best game to watch tonight of the early one? I mean, you got two that are starting within a half hour, Syracuse, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Louisville. They're both 1-4s.
It's such an upset laden tournament that those 1-4 matchups.
Here we go again. I think Wisconsin has a better shot against Syracuse than Louisville against Michigan State.
Look, okay, there are 8 ones and twos, right?
Okay.
Well, in the Sweet 16, 6 of them are there.
Uh-huh.
All right. 3 4s made it. 4 1s made it. 2 2s made it. 3 4s made it. 1 3 made it. Then after that, you have a 6, a 7, a 10, and a 13, and an 11.
But the 10, 11, and 13 are pretty big numbers to be in the 16.
But NC State wasn't seeded right, and I said that on day one.
Yes, you did.
Okay, NC State was not seeded right at 11. Xavier was considered to be, in December, one of the top teams in the country, and they were considered to roll through the Atlantic 10, and then they got into the fight, and they went, because they were off to a great start. I think Xavier early in the year beat Purdue, if I recall correctly. I think Xavier had some big wins early. Well, you look at what Xavier did this year, and they had some big wins early. And then they got into the fight with Cincinnati. And when they did, it turned out it had a tremendous effect on them.
Xavier, by the way, did beat Purdue back in December.
I think they beat somebody else, too, didn't they? Somebody of significance.
They beat Cincy.
Yeah, well, yeah, we know about that. But they were considered to be the top team in the Atlantic 10 all year, and then after the fight, they went 11-11. So they end up as a 10 seed, but they recapture their game, so that's not out of the realm. Now, Ohio University at a 13 is. You know, DJ Cooper's a fine player. No getting around it. Okay? But really, for the most part, 11 of, you know, I mean, Florida's a 7. Gets through.
But Xavier, the way things fell in the bracket, kind of worked out for them a little bit, too.
Sure it did. No question. The right matchups, right time. That's what it all comes down to, matchups. But tonight, Syracuse plays Wisconsin. The other half is Ohio State-Cincinnati. I think that's the most intriguing game of the night. And Michigan State-Louisville out west, and Marquette against Florida. But I think Cincinnati-Ohio State, because this is a Kentucky-Louisville type of situation where for years Kentucky wouldn't play Louisville.
Yeah, they've been avoiding each other.
No, well, they haven't been avoiding each other. One's been avoiding
all right, one's been avoiding the other. I mean, being neutral.
Do you think Kentucky avoided – Louisville avoided Kentucky? Louisville was begging to play Kentucky. Danny Crum every year on the phone. We'd like to play you.
Hello? I was being fair and balanced.
Hello? It's like when Penn State football calls Notre Dame to play. Hello?
I'm sorry, NBC won't allow it. Thanks, gotta go.
you beat us most. You beat us 2/3 of the time. Hello.
Well, the two early games though are Syracuse, Wisconsin. I mean, there's time to watch Ohio State, Cincy, because that starts later tonight. But Syracuse, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Louisville. Which is the better game of those two that start within a half hour of each other?
First of all, it's going to be a contrast in style. Syracuse and Wisconsin. Syracuse plays the 2-3 zone. They don't rebound well because you don't rebound well out of zones. Nobody does. Even with Fab Mello in there, Syracuse actually was out-rebounded this year. Not by much, but they were still out-rebounded. But They're designed to get rebounds and fast break. And in the 2-3 zone, those two guys at the front of that 2-3 zone are already in perfect wing positions on a fast break against Wisconsin, which wants to play football on wood.
Football on wood. So you're saying as if the game's called a little bit tight, Wisconsin's in trouble?
No, not necessarily. They want to grind it down, grind the shot clock down. They want, you know, they don't. Wisconsin at home plays a little differently in the Kohl Center than on the road. At the Kohl Center, they're a little more freewheeling. They're a little more into gear. They'll put up shots a little earlier in the clock. When they're away, they don't like to put the shot up until it's under 10. And you'll see that tonight. Also, because it's a 2-3 zone, there's an element of the Wisconsin offense that cannot be run. About 25% of the time, Wisconsin runs the swing offense. In the swing offense, each one of the five players at some point during the possession ends up in a post position. And they like to get Josh Gosser and Jordan Taylor into post-up positions against guards because they're both, especially Taylor, is a very good post-up guard. You cannot run that offense against a 2-3 zone. So that offense now has to be junked, which, you know, it's not unusual because they have to, you know, they're teams that play them zone and they have to eliminate it. So for Wisconsin, it's not a big adjustment, but it still is something they have to take out of their arsenal that they like to run and that they run very well. Michigan State and Louisville, we know what Louisville wants to do. Louisville wants to defend. Louisville wants to come down the floor. Louisville wants to fire up as many threes as possible. They try to beat you on volume. They are a volume 3-point shooting team. And they, for it's also a team that did not, during the course of the year, really put up a lot of points. And they didn't really hit stride Louisville as a basketball team until postseason play when they won the Big East tournament. Michigan State ended up tied for the Big Ten championship with Ohio State and Michigan after losing the final game of the season at home to Ohio State when Will Buford hit that shot from the top of the key, which was phenomenal. I mean, as tough a shot in basketball as you're ever going to be asked to be made at a championship moment. And Tom Izzo got up in front of his crowd at the Breslin Center because it was senior day, and they lost Brandon Dawson 7 minutes into the game with a torn ACL. Their outstanding freshman was not going to be freshman of the year of the Big Ten. Cody Zeller, Trey Burke were going back and forth on that, and it turned out justice was served. Coaches picked Zeller, media picked Burke. They both received the honor. Couldn't have worked out better. But Dawson probably was the third or fourth, you can go three or four, best freshman in the Big Ten this year. Aaron White of Iowa would have to be considered in that group as well. I like White's play very, very much. But they lose Dawson in that game, and Tom Izzo looks at the crowd at the Breslin Center because they do their senior ceremony after the game. And he says, we're going to go to Indianapolis, and we're going to reclaim outright the Big Ten championship. Bold statements. And they did. They went to Indy. They don't have quite the depth they had before. No Brandon Dawson. Plus, they lost Delvin Rowe in the preseason. Draymond Green, I've already openly told you that for the Wooden Award, I voted Anthony Davis of Kentucky 1. I voted Robinson of Kansas 2, but I voted Draymond Green of Michigan State 3. He is, to me, the finest passing post player I've seen in years. He's an excellent rebounder, especially offensive rebounder. And he's a very good shooter inside or out. But the role players have done their job. Appling has now finally found more confidence in his shot, which makes a big difference for Michigan State. And Michigan State has recaptured Michigan State-style basketball, meaning this. Michigan State, in 2009, led the nation in rebound margin. In 2010, they led the nation in rebound margin. In 2011, they were 48th in the nation in rebound margin. Penn State beat Michigan State 2 out of 3 last year. But this year, 3rd in the nation in rebound margin. They've recaptured their game. Any other questions?
No, I think you've covered it.
Okay, great. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show and your calls at 1-800-795-9565. I want to hear from you out there. I want to hear from you. Come on, give us a call. You're riding home, big day of work. Give us a call. Talk some sports. A great time of the year to do so. 1-800-795-9565. More of the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herentow on WKOK.
Check your paper for Kohl's annual spring open house flyer and get great savings while supplies last. Cut out the coupon for your free Kohl's reusable shopping bag and get 20% off anything you can fit in the bag.
Get the 18-volt cordless electric WG gas trimmer and precision edger, $119.99 everywhere else, now just $69.99 at Kohl's.
Time to fill the deck with a Fisher Island 32-inch table and four stacking chairs. Five pieces are just $99.
Just when you thought prices couldn't get any better, they get dirt cheap, like Scott's Topsoil, 75-cubic-foot bag, just $0.99 a bag, limit six bags.
Did you sign up for your special offers yet at Kohl'sHardware.com? Enjoy special offers just for signing up. Be a friend and like us on Facebook.
Now, Kohl's Hardware is more than just your neighborhood hardware store. Oh, we're still right around the corner with over 15,000 name brand products. But now, you also have great offers waiting for you online. Sign up at Kohl'sHardware.com.
Come on home, your hardware store. Come on home to Kohl's.
Mifflinburg Bank and Trust. Leave your future to us. See what Mifflinburg Bank can do. Cause we're the bank that works for you.
Spring is all about new beginnings and fresh starts. It's the best time to plan new home construction or updates to your current home. I'm Brian Knights, Shamokin Dam Office Manager at Mifflinburg Bank & Trust. Our experienced lenders will take the time to listen to your needs and recommend the right mortgage product to fit your budget. Begin to live your dreams. It's a buyer's market and mortgage rates are at all-time lows. Call the nearest Mifflinburg Bank & Trust office to speak with an experienced lender or for added convenience, begin the application process at mbtc.com. At 140 years strong, Mifflinburg Bank & Trust remains a community bank committed to provide our customers with innovative, convenient services. Our offices are located in Mifflinburg, Lewisburg, Milheim, New Berlin, Shamokin Dam, and at mbtc.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Spring is upon us, and at Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Truck in Sunbury and Seals Grove, we can help you get ready for vacations, golf, and cruising. Plus lots of other fun things, but you have to get here during this showcase event and pick out your brand new 2012 Chrysler Town & Country or a new 300 Limited for as low as $359 a month. Then just sign and drive it away. That's it, no catch. We'll see you later today during the showcase event at Zimmerman's in Sunbury and Seals Grove, where you will always drive away smiling.
With approved credit, see salespeople for details, tax and tags not included.
The recent warm weather has created spring fever for the home building professionals at Fogarty Homes. As a result, they're proud to introduce their brand new Spring Now promotion. Spring Now to get great incentives on the full line of Fogarty Homes. Spring Now to take advantage of historically low interest rates. Spring Now to see how Fogarty Homes makes building easy. Spring Now to see how your new home can be completed in 4 months, saving you thousands of dollars. Whether you have a lot or need one, Fogarty Homes is here to help. Visit FogartyHomes.com or stop by their design center on Route 15 in Lewisburg.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents The Road Report. 10 minutes before the hour each weekday morning on WKOK. We'll talk about construction slow spots, and we'll let you know if the weather is going to affect driving. Before you hit the road, check out The Road Report at WKOK.com. Then, listen to News Radio 1070 WKOK to find out what you'll run into on the way to work. The Road Report is on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Email time. Our friend JC, who calls us from time to time in the show. Let's get to his question. He says, point to ponder. Peyton Manning cost $90 million. It's actually, what, a five-year deal worth $96 million. He has to play a 16-plus season. If, and he puts that in capital IF. If he takes a hit or simply has medical conditions that contribute to his necessity to be sidelined, here's what the Broncos' backup quarterback situation is. His name is Adam Weber, undrafted rookie, no NFL experience, only played in the practice squad. I can tell you a little bit about Adam Weber. He was the starting quarterback in Minnesota. He set all sorts of records there. Has virtually no mobility. Good pocket passer. not bad field position vision, and at the very least does know Eric Decker inside and out, because Decker and he were the duo at Minnesota. So that's Adam Weber. The Broncos are attempting to sign Caleb Haney from the Bears, but nothing's been solidified yet. Haney, who, by the way, was the fall guy in the Prater 58-yard field goal game where Tebow brilliantly overcame his mistakes and brought his team back. And rumor has it they're going to give Ryan Tannehill of Texas A&M and Arizona quarterback Brock Osweiler the opportunity to impress them enough to sign. Well, of course, Tannehill's going to be gone before the Broncos pick. All the hoopla, Manning, you know, no talk about the backup. It's a very good question, JC asks. When do you want a solid backup, considering of about all the what-ifs of Manning?
Well, the one that they had, sorry, Steve, Brady Quinn, signed as an unrestricted free agent to the Chiefs.
Brady's had quite a career.
He's moved around a lot.
No, you know who was never a big Brady Quinn fan?
Who?
Joe. Never liked his footwork. It's a $95 million chance that I personally wouldn't take even if I had the money. What are your thoughts? You think Manning can and will stay healthy enough for 16-plus games after sitting out of your respectfully, JC? JC, I would have taken that. First of all, it's the National Football League. All right? And it's not quite Monopoly money, but when the salary cap equals the television deal before you've sold the ticket, it's not that bad a life. I would have taken that. I would have taken it in a heartbeat. As long as I received solid medical reports, which it sounds like they did, and also David Cutcliffe's word, the Dukehead football coach, where Manning had been working out, and Cutcliffe knows quarterbacks. He knows Peyton Manning. He obviously knows Eli because he was Eli's head coach. Cutcliffe has done a good job over his career of evaluating quarterbacks, whether it was Heath Shuler, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, whomever. I think the so he knows quarterbacks, and if he says he's throwing the ball really well and could play this Sunday if need be, that actually carries some weight with me. Now, JC, you're absolutely correct in that one good hit, and everybody in the place is going to gasp, no question. But it can happen to anybody. Look at the foot of Ben Roethlisberger this past season. Look at the hit on opening day that Kansas City gave inadvertently to Tom Brady and knocked him out for the year. It just in the NFL, because of the nature of the position, it's a vulnerable position to injury anyway. That's why keeping these guys healthy is critical. So it's a risk on anybody. It would be a risk if they had signed Tom Brady, for example, because what if Brady gets one hit, he's out. Now Manning's more vulnerable because of the four neck surgeries, so that's correct. Tannehill's tough for them to get. He probably won't be available when they draft. Osweiler will probably be available. He mentions Billy Volkin here, who's at least been around 13 years, and he's been a, quote, capable backup, including some time he did at Tennessee. Adam Weber would not be the... Although I'll tell you this, I think Adam Weber's is a better fit as an NFL quarterback than Curtis Painter. And I would have thought that after seeing both of them in college. Your calls are 1-800-795-9565 on The Steve Jones Show, starring Kevin Herb, after the news.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Kevin just threatened that I should go out and meet the fans of the area.
Wasn't a threat. We should meet the Steve night.
He's all wrapped up in the fact that Michael Bush signed with the Bears. And says that everybody from Selins Grove to Milton to Danville are caught up in the Michael Bush signing leaving the Raiders.
Wow. Where in the, oh, man.
I just quoted you.
Oh, man. Talk about embellishing.
Embellishing what?
Talk about embellishing.
Maybe the Steelers will get Matt Forte instead.
Great. One injured running back and then another injury-prone running back. That'll be helpful. Jeff's Shelf on the line from Selins Grove, Steve.
Well, Jeff from Selins Grove, welcome to the show at 1-800-795-9565. It is a pleasure for me to talk with you, my friend.
Yep, hers. Hi, Steve. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, I think they ought to find professional quarterbacks out of the stuff that Roethlisberger's made out of. It's not everybody that can be thrown through the front of a windshield head first and still go on to win a Super Bowl.
Toughness has been redefined at the quarterback position now.
Yeah, you have to be tough.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, toughness is certainly a key ingredient to any quarterback because there's so many blind shots that they take during the course of a season. That's why they put in so many rules to, quote, try and protect quarterbacks, because they understand that you do not buy a ticket to see Caleb Haney play.
Well, maybe they can give Peyton Manning some of that blood or something, a transfusion or something for Roethlisberger. Give him a little chance there.
It's called a cortisone shot.
That might work. All right, thanks, guys.
Jay, Jeff, great to hear from you at Selins Grove. All right, at number 1-800-795-9565. Let's keep the phone lines cooking here and get more of your comments on the show this afternoon. We'll have Fred Chemel, the assistant coach of the Lady Lion basketball team, tomorrow on their Sweet 16 matchup with UConn, which is Sunday. We'll also hear tomorrow from Jordan Steranko, first baseman for the Penn State baseball team, who had 2 home runs yesterday in beating Pitt. And we'll also next week get Ron Musselman in, formerly of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, now at statecollege.com, covering Penn State football on an everyday basis. We've had Ron on the show before. We'll also get Malcolm Moran back on the show, this time from New Orleans, and Dick Girardi, all from the Final Four next week. I realize Kevin wants to talk about IRL racing, but the heck of it, I'm going to bring in some Final Four guys. And once again, the Kevin fan leaves the parking lot.
Wow, that was quick.
Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. As Kevin now is completely immersed in the Michael Bush signing by the Bears.
not immersed. I thought the Steelers would take a look at him. Of course, the Steelers haven't taken a look at anybody in free
years.
Agency right now.
In years. Okay? Years.
Did they realize that free agency is going on, like, before the draft? And that it actually happens before the draft? Sometimes I wonder about that, being a Steelers fan.
I don't know. And by the way, Nicole Shelley just joined us on Facebook. Very nice. Thank you, Nicole. Great to have you on there as a Facebook friend.
You can join us there, too. Just go in the search bar and type in Steve Jones Show, and we'll pop up there.
Love it. That's great.
You can also follow Steve on Twitter, at Steve Jones PSU.
Yes, I actually tweeted last night.
You did.
And you are still in a state of S-H-O-C-K, shock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely in a state of shock after that one.
Well, I tried to include you in the tweet. You got to give me credit for that. You did.
I got mentioned in a Steve Jones tweet. Not quite sure if it was all positive, but I did get mentioned.
Yeah. And Drew Kelly tweeted goal.
Oh, no. Drew, who's actually honeymooning right now in Mexico, worked out to watching a soccer game on TV. And that was my response to him.
Oh, your response to him.
Well, goal!
Yeah, that's tremendous. And if you notice, if you look at the website of SteveJones.com.
Yeah, I have.
Tebow, Manning, Hines Ward, it's just all Kevin. There you go. It's right off the bat. All things that you love and are obsessed with.
That's something. Did you put in your, did you answer the bracket question? 57% of our listeners so far have said that their bracket for their Final Four is still intact, at least for the Final Four. And then the other question.
Because guess what? All four number one seeds are still there.
That's true.
And two twos are still there. So it really is not a surprising result.
Okay. You have a memory of every statistic known to man. When was the last time that four number one seeds met in the Final Four?
Boy, I don't know. In women's basketball, it's an every year occurrence. of course, last year there were no number ones, by the way. Women's basketball, the man at zero.
Oh, no, in women's, okay.
Yeah.
There was a couple years ago for the men that happened too, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, sure. It happens far more. It's a far more balanced tournament. But you know what? Some people are catching on to the act. I do not know the answer, by the way.
I'll have to look that one up.
Somebody will have to look that up for me if all four ones have made it. But people are catching on to the act. Fairfield hosted the women's tournament in Bridgeport at Harbor Yard. And that's their home court anyway. Well, knowing that UConn was going to be there, they jacked up the prices. And guess what? Thousands showed up, cleverly disguised as empty seats. And the ticket sales were, I mean, nobody in the end zones. Big concern. And this happened at the Big East tournament years ago for the women. Big East tournament for the women, they tried to force everybody to buy all session tickets. All session tickets. And the UConn fans finally have said, we've had enough. Well, in other words, they didn't go to Bridgeport because they knew they were going to win the first two rounds. So they didn't bother going. Save their money and go to Kingston. Right? Then, when it came to the Big East tournament, they tried to make everybody buy all session tickets. They went from getting 16,000 in the championship game to getting 6,000. People don't want to be gouged. Okay? Especially in this economy, they do not want to be gouged.
They want to be eBayed.
No, they want to get something where they feel like they're getting something for their money. They want to feel like they're paying for something that is appropriate to the dollar amount that they're paying.
By the way, the last time four Final Four teams have met, it only happened once, and it was in the 08 tournament.
Okay. Four ones.
That was when Kansas beat Memphis in the championship game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Derrick Rose played such a great game.
Oh, and I wanted to let you know that on NFL.com, you can actually get your Tebow jersey. It's the banner ad at the top of NFL.com. It's the Tebow Jets jersey, and I know you want one.
Does Babe Parilli know his number 15 is coming out of mothballs?
I don't know. I don't know if they retired that one, so I don't know that he got the vote.
1968, the Jets win the championship, right? Joe Namath, of course. And one of the most important things that the Jets did that year was they named Joe Namath captain. And he really played recklessly before. I mean, 67, he threw for 4,000 yards. First quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards. If I remember correctly, threw for 4,007 yards. In 1967, but he threw a lot of interceptions. Well, he got Emerson Boozer and Matt Snell more involved, and of course he still had George Sauer, Don Maynard. Pete Lammons was the tight end. Bill Mathis was a pretty good receiver out of the backfield for him. And he's throwing less. They're winning more, and he's throwing fewer interceptions. He's more careful with the ball. His backup quarterback that year was Babe Parilli. They picked him up from the Boston Patriots. And people forget that in Super Bowl III, people forget two things about that. Number one, Namath got hurt during the game. And Parilli had to come in, and Parilli had even completed a pass. So Babe Parilli, who was out of Kentucky, played for Bear Bryant at Kentucky, in fact. Actually came into Super Bowl III, actually played a little bit, completed a pass in the game. Then Namath came back. You know me? And then in the fourth quarter, Namath had a huge fourth quarter. You know how many passes he completed in the fourth quarter?
No.
You don't?
No.
No.
None?
None. Zero, because he didn't attempt a single pass in the fourth quarter. Namath did not attempt a single pass in the fourth quarter of
really?
Super Bowl III.
I did not. Now that, I did not know.
He was 12 of 17 passing in the game. And all the pass attempts were in the first three quarters. He got to the point where he got running game was going. Matt Snell had a big day. Snell had 121 yards rushing, something like that. He scored the Jets touchdown. But Namath did not attempt a pass in the fourth quarter of that game at all. Not one. Kevin's looking it up now.
Listen, this show's educational, if nothing else.
Oh, I'm just telling you. It's, so, yes. So, 15. Didn't Kellen Clemens wear 15? With the Jets?
For the Jets?
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, look that up. Yeah. It's just, you know, I mean, you just don't randomly hand out these numbers without some lineage. I mean, really? I mean, doesn't America want to know how Babe Parilli would have felt?
I'm going to say no.
Oh, you're cruel. You're very cruel, man.
Let's see.
It's become a cruel show.
Let's see. Number 15. Tim Tebow. Well, great. Thanks for that answer. I needed that.
Right.
According to NewYorkJets.com, Brad Smith wore 16, but I don't think there was a 15.
I knew that, yeah.
Boy, this might take a couple of days.
Well, good. I'm glad. This will be a good project for you.
Great. He gave me some homework. That's exactly what I wanted.
It's a good project for you. I'm really happy about that.
So who's the best free agent left since we're on football? Who's the best free agent left?
The best? I don't.
With Bush already signing? And I mean, is there?
Look, Michael Bush does not change the balance of power in the National Football League.
I'm not saying
league,
it.
Okay?
I'm just saying today.
Okay, if I want to give the ball to anybody in the Raider lineup, I'd like to see Darren McFadden touch the ball more than Michael Bush. Okay?
Well, Lee Evans is still out there.
Good receiver. I liked him with Wisconsin. I liked him with the Bills. Yeah, he's a possibility.
Let's see. A lot of defensive players still available.
Ted Ginn's
still available.
Fine, you can have him.
That's pretty much, yeah, like I said, a lot of defensive players out there. William Gay, one of the Steeler defensive backs, available.
And they gave up how many yards to Tebow in the playoffs?
It's pretty much why the Steelers didn't really worry about re-signing him. Although he did have two interceptions for the Steelers last year.
Right.
Ironically, the Broncos are one of the teams he's looking for.
Well, everybody's looking for defensive backfield help. Everybody is. But, I think, you know, there are a lot of people saying that this could cause a locker room issue for the Jets.
I think it already is. You already had one tweet from a receiver complaining about not getting players to go around Sanchez. Instead, you get a backup quarterback for him. That's not a positive thing to start off with your offense.
No. Well, they have Sean Green at running back. Right, they have that. Now, I think they need to find themselves a backup running back. Trying to take the pressure off Green just a bit. Somebody especially that's a little bit better coming out of the backfield catching the football. I think that would help them. Wideouts are okay. You know, they've gone through so many retreads at wideout.
Retreads?
They have.
Whew, that's cold.
What, Plexico Burris?
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong.
I mean, in other words, they haven't exactly gone out and developed a wide receiver that's become a star that's been a Jet player. Right? They've really tried to fill in gaps with guys a little more experienced along the line, but were not exactly wanted other places. Braylon Edwards wasn't wanted in other places. Plexico Burris absolutely wasn't wanted in other places, right?
Not right now. I mean, I think he's still on the free agent block at the moment.
Right. I mean, that's what they've been filling the gap with. Need to go out and get, you know, get themselves a game-breaking wideout with no ego.
Cotchery, he had a 1,000-yard season a few years ago, and then they left him.
Yeah, he's with the Steelers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then your team has done nothing. Your team has done zero.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm complaining as much as the next person. I don't quite understand what they're waiting for.
I mean, Jack's not coming out of retirement.
Maybe that's what they were hoping for.
No offense. I got the market cornered on that guy.
They left a couple of linebackers go. Maybe they were hoping for that deep down. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's an age thing, though. Ferrier, and I mean, that's an age thing.
There you go. Call him and find out where Jack stands on all this with the Steelers. That's what I want to know.
And would entail talking to you?
No, I he doesn't have to talk to me. He's already talked to me once. That's probably enough in his career.
He mentioned that to me. All right, our number is 1-800-795-9565. Wrap it up for this beautiful Thursday after this.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
You know, it's been said that laughter is the best medicine. And here's a reminder to take your medicine tomorrow night at the Front Street Station. Front Street Station, a railroading eatery located at number 2 Front Street in Northumberland, presents another of their famous comedy nights. Tomorrow night, national touring comedians perform live on stage. Doors open at 8:30 p.m. Or here's an idea. Make it a fun-filled evening and come early for dinner and then see the show. And remember, reservations are suggested. It's another comedy night tomorrow night. If you've been there before, come on back. If you've never enjoyed comedy night before, don't miss this opportunity for a great night of laughs tomorrow night, because laughter is the best medicine. Come join the fun tomorrow night at the Front Street Station, a railroading eatery located at number 2 Front Street in Northumberland. Learn more online at frontstreetstation.com.
Find out more about the Front Street Station and Comedy Night and make your reservations for dinner by calling 473-3626 or 866-424-2775. Once again, the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, the Daily Item, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation are honoring area high school seniors as outstanding young Americans. These students have excelled in many areas in both the classroom and their communities. Congratulations to Aiden McDonald of Danville Area Junior Senior High School, Andrew Fox from Lewisburg High School, Meadowbrook Christian Academy's Becky Crawford, and Wyatt Ebright from Midwest High School. The Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, Daily Item, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation would also like to mention these students who, like the group just named, have been lauded as outstanding young Americans. Mifflinburg High School's Ryan McNally, Shelby Durr of the Northumberland Christian School, Jessica Davis of Seelands Grove High School, Andrew Eister of Shikellamy High School, and Isaac Richard of Sun Area Technical Institute. Here's a sincere wish for all the best in the future from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, the Daily Item, and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock hour. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
lounging on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Kevin Hur telling me about his son's athletic exploits during the break.
No. All I said was we were watching the finals, and I froze it when they showed a picture of Cale, and I said, there, that's the guy you want. And he stopped for a moment, and he said, I don't think he'll be coming in our living room. And then followed that up with, he does scare me a little bit.
Well, for those who've never met Cale Sanderson, I can tell you right now, he is not a scary person by any stretch of the imagination. I personally like Cale a lot. And he, you know what? He has no ego.
But he looks so intimidating.
No, he has no ego at all. He really is very down-to-earth, soft-spoken guy. Has done a great, you know, has done, I mean, you want to talk about meeting expectations. The bar was set so high when he came here. It was set astronomically high. And all he does is go out there and meet it, but that's been his entire life. He's met expectations his entire life. You know, I mean, you get to your last 2 years, right? I mean, imagine the pressure on him the last 2 years of his college career, where you go undefeated, win your freshman year at the Jordan Center, by the way. So I saw him win his first championship. Then you go undefeated your next year. It's like, now the pressure every single time out to win and keep it going and keep it going. And he kept it going and won a third time, kept it going, won a fourth time, went to the Olympics, won the gold medal. Now he comes here with all the pressure of being a head coach and delivering national championships. And Penn State had only had one national title in 1953 under Charlie Spiedel. And today the voting came out for the Hodge Award. David Taylor won. Ed Ruth finished second, and Frank Molinaro finished fourth in the voting for the Hodge Award. Very nice. Well-deserved. David Taylor is 70-1 in his career. And, of course, Taylor, Ruth, and Molinaro have two things in common. Number one, all three are national champions. Number two, all three were undefeated national champions. So,
you know, what we didn't touch on today was Chipper Jones retiring after this season.
After this season. He is third all-time in switch-hitting home runs. Mantle would be first with 536. Eddie Murray would be second with 504. And I think Chipper's at 454 home runs, right?
I don't have that in front of me.
Look it up.
We're running short on time.
Oh, it's 458 Tebow time. We got 90 seconds. But one of the truly great switch hitters of all time and a critical cog in Braves success, Chipper Jones. You know, great career. But he's third all-time at switch hitting home runs among switch hitters. And just a great player. One more year in Atlanta. Maybe they can coax 120 games out of him this year. See if he can go out with a bang.
Is he an automatic first ballot?
It's an interesting question. Because he didn't get to 500 home runs, maybe not. But I've always thought the automatic first ballot thing was absolutely ridiculous. What makes you a better candidate the sixth time around than the first?
I don't know. That's a
I've never understood the stupidity of that. How could seven people not vote for Willie Mays? Are you kidding me?
What made him better all of a sudden?
I mean, seven people didn't vote for Willie Mays? Are you kidding? I mean, six people didn't vote for Hank Aaron. Are you nuts? I mean, you actually have people who said, well, I don't believe in a first ballot Hall of Famer. Turn your vote in. You obviously don't watch the games.